Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
This is the Minutes of Truth radio broadcast, and we are studying today in Jonah chapter 3. We'll be picking up with verse 6. What we saw last time is that after some convincing, Jonah has finally gone to preach to the city of Nineveh. He tells them that they are wicked and that God's going to destroy them. And the people listen. They believe God. They proclaim a fast. They go into a time of sorrow, and all the people of the city, from the least of them to the greatest, participate in this sorrow, this repentance for the wicked that they have done. My name's Paul Adams, and Mark Schatz is here, and we're going to pick up with a reading beginning in verse 6.
Beginning in Jonah chapter 3, verse 6, and going through the end of the chapter, it says, "When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, 'In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered in sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger, so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it."
Mark, as you were talking about this passage with me before we began today, we were looking at this king of Nineveh, and it seems like he does some things that shows his sorrow and that he is humbling himself before God. The general population has done this. They have begun to fast and to be sorrowful, but we see that this has impacted the king, and he kind of leaves his royal position and humbles himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, as you look at this, Paul, you see that the general principle that's taught here is that God requires actions when repentance, that we need to turn from our evil ways, that we need to show by our lives that we repent and that we're turning to him. And I really see that with the king. In verse 5, we saw the people, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. But you really see something with this king in verse 6, because it says he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him. When you think about the Ninevites and you think about the Assyrians, boy, at that time when the king was sitting on his throne, he didn't answer to anybody. He was the total ruler. He was the total authority. He could do whatever he wanted to do. He had the power of life and death in his hands. So it's really significant that this king shows the repentance that he has. He arises from his throne, and you could even think of that in a way in that he acknowledges God is upon the throne, and it has the right to say what is right and to say what is wrong and what he requires of people. He takes off his kingly robe and lays it aside. He shows by those actions his repentance and his humility. And then he covers himself with sackcloth and he sits in ashes. He humbles himself along with his people, and he has a reason for doing that. You see in verse 7, Paul, that as you said it when we were looking at it, that he helps Jonah. How does he help Jonah?
Well, Jonah was given a message to go into the city and to say, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. You're such a wicked people, God's going to destroy you. Well, they're sorrowful, and the king wants to make sure all the nation shows their sorrow. And he says that not only are the people all going to be in sackcloth and ashes, not only are the people going to fast, but the beasts are going to do that too. The herds, the flocks, they're not going to taste anything. They're not going to eat. They're not going to drink water. Even the animals were going to be covered with sackcloth in verse 8. And they were going to cry to God, yes, everyone turned from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. We see that the people are sorry and that they are changing their ways.
Yeah, so many times, even today, Paul, you see people who maybe they're doing something wrong. They're living sinful lives. Or they're thinking they should turn to God because they're not doing what God wants them to. But they're not really sorry for their sins. They have other motives for saying that they're going to turn to God. But here you see what true repentance and turning to God looks like. They changed their lives. They gave up everything that they had that they could take pride in, being a king and the kingly robes and all that, and the people, even who were great, they were giving that up. They were all sitting in sackcloth. They wanted to show God that they had truly were sorry and that they were repenting. They had that sorrowful repentance. And it seems like that's a little rare quality today, that people don't really, they hardly want to admit they're wrong. And when they want repent and want to turn back to God, they don't want to show that they're sorry for what they have done and show true repentance. This is a great example of true repentance. Their world was turned upside down. They were humbled as far as they could be humbled, and they were calling upon God to turn from his plans for them. They were doing that in repentance.
Jonah has not preached to them, Mark, a lesson of a message of hope. He's not told them that if you'll change, God will save you. In fact, they just do this because they realize that God is unhappy, and they want to not be displeasing to God, because in verse 9, they say, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? And so they have no promise that even though they made these changes, even though they're really sorrow, they have no promise that God will give them another chance.
Yeah, it's interesting, Paul. We talked earlier about this, but these were people who didn't have a relationship with God. They weren't God's people. They weren't the Jews. They weren't the seed of Abraham. They didn't have any indication of a past relationship with God. But yet when they encountered God and God issues this proclamation against them, they submit to God. And we were talking about the point that sometimes in our lives today, there are people who have never had a relationship with God, even for all their life. They may be 40, 50, 60, 70 or more years old and have never obeyed God. But what this teaches us about God is that even if you've never had the past relationship to him, and even if you're extremely wicked, if you will acknowledge God and you will turn to him and humble yourself and truly repent, that God will turn away his anger. Because you look here in verse 10, and it says, when God saw their deeds, God was observing, he saw their repentance, he saw their humility, and when God saw their deeds in verse 10, that they turned from their wicked way, then what does God do, Paul?
It says that he relented from the disaster, the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. You know, God did not cause Jonah or allow Jonah to drown. He gave him a second chance. God, when it came to the work to be done in Nineveh, God gave Jonah a second chance. And here we see that God gives the people of Nineveh a second chance. You know, God is a God of second chances, and it may be that as you listen today that you realize that you're not living right before God. Maybe at one time you did, but you've left that, or maybe you never have. God would give you a second chance. He gives you time to turn away from the wrong you're doing, to obey the truth that he would have you to obey. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've never confessed him before men. We're ready to help you to do all of those kinds of things. And we hope you look at this example of Jonah and Nineveh, how God gives second chances. Thanks for listening today. We hope that you'll continue to listen as we study through the rest of the book of Jonah. And join us again next time for a few more Minutes of Truth.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.